I don't know why I didn't try the Lord many years ago. It would have saved me so much misery. My foolish mind couldn't find what it was really looking for. Now it's a good life living for the Lord.
It's a Good Life, a program brought to you by Lewis Woodard Ministries of Fruitland Park, Florida. I'm your speaker, Lewis Woodard. Let me invite you to stay with me for these next few minutes for Bible study, fellowship, and prayer. Why? Because it's a good life. Well, today on It's a Good Life, I'd like for us to look at the question, when do we need God? Well, we need God. Let's start from the beginning. And I trust that you'll have your Bible and you'll be looking at the verses. If you do not have the verses, or you don't have time to write the verses down, let me remind you to go to our website, lrwm.org, and there you'll find a transcript of this program, and also you'll be able to listen to this program once again. Or if you would like, you could write to me, Lewis Woodard, 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. If you'll write to me, I'll be glad to send you a transcript of this program. When do we need God? Because of God, we are alive before we are born. Now, some people don't understand this. You have some people who really don't realize when that baby is within the womb that is a real baby, that is a person. But God says even before then, notice with me in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, the first part of that verse says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground." In Jeremiah 1 and verse 5, the first part of that verse says, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee." God forms that little child within the belly. And he says here in Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5, he knew us before he formed us in the belly. In Job chapter 12 and verse 10, it says, "In whose hand is the soul of every living thing and the breath of all mankind?" Every person in this world, every person who has been born into this world, every person who has been placed within that womb, even before they were placed in that womb, God knew every one of us. And we also notice that Jesus is God. Who created us? God created us. And we understand by reading the Word of God that Jesus is God. In John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men." Well, how do we know that Jesus is God? Well, it tells us there, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And we go on in John chapter 1 and verse 14, and we read this, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." And of course, that is speaking of none other than Jesus Christ. Jesus is the Creator. Well, when do we need God? We need God before life even begins. And then we need God for the breath of life at birth. He not only knows us before life, He gives us the breath of life to live. In Genesis 2 and verse 7, once again, you read about this. It says, "God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Jeremiah, once again, in chapter 1 and verse 5, it talks about, "Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee," or "I set thee apart." In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 45, it says, "And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul, and the last Adam was made a quickening spirit." And of course, the last Adam being Jesus Christ. But notice that first part of that verse. It says, "The first man, Adam, was made a living soul." God breathed the breath of life into the first man, and He breathes the breath of life into every person, everything that is born into this world. God breathes the breath of life. Well, we not only need God before birth and at birth, we need God for the way of life. A young child, the adolescent teen, in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 14, it says, "But Jesus said, suffer little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And then John 14:6, and all of the verses, some of the verses we've already read. In John chapter 1 and verse 4 it says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Psalm chapter 1 verses 1 and 2 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, that's the word of God, and in his law, that's the word of God, doth he meditate day and night. Let's go ahead and read verses 3 and 4. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. We're to train up children in the way they should go. And the Bible says that when they're old, they'll not depart from it. Now, God has given us his word, and we need to be teaching children the word of God. John chapter 10 and verse 10 says, the thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. John chapter 8 and verse 12 says, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. In the day and time that we live in, the Bible has been thrown out of the schools. God is no longer in the schools. And we wonder why our nation is in the condition it's in. It's because that the secular section of our nation, the ungodly people who are running this nation, the ungodly people who are in charge of the quote-unquote public school system have taken God out. You say, how can you say they're ungodly? Well, they've left God out. Anytime you leave God out, you become ungodly. We've left out the light of the world. Is it any wonder that our children are turning out the way they are? John chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, we need to keep telling people about this. It says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. We've left that out. We've stopped seeing that within the public school system, within our society, and it's wrong. But we not only need God before life, and at life's beginning, and to know how to live life, we also need God as we grow in life. Acts chapter 10 and verse 34, it says this, then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. Well, what does this mean? We need God for the blessings of life, both for the saved person in this world and the unsaved. The unsaved people will not recognize and not acknowledge the fact that God has been good to them throughout their lives. But the Bible says that God is no respecter of persons. He is long-suffering toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God blesses the good person and the evil person. And that may be hard for some Christians to understand, but God is long-suffering toward that person who has never trusted him as Savior. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 45, it says that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. Now, it's not talking about all of mankind. It's talking about a saved person there. That ye may be, or that person who's unsaved, that you could be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. God is so good. We don't recognize him, and we don't praise him enough in this life, and as the people of God, we need to be praising him more, standing up for him, and letting people know that he is God. We not only need God before life, at life's beginning, to know how to live life, and to grow in life, we also need God in our old age. And the older I get, the more I know I need God. We grow old. We become seniors in this life, if God allows that to happen with us. Now, God encourages us in life as we grow old. In Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 31, it says, the hoary head, and this means white or gray hair, and this is referring to the elderly. The hoary head is a crown of glory, if it be found in the way of righteousness. The person who has grown old needs to be saved. That person needs to be able to give the word of God out to help other people know Jesus Christ as Savior. In Job chapter 12 and verse 12, it says, "With the ancient is wisdom, and in length of days understanding." And I would have you to know that in length of days for that person who is not saved, that person has the understanding of the world. That person is able to help people in the world with the ungodly things. But the Bible says that we need to be saved in order to have the real wisdom of God. John chapter 16 and verse 33, it says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world," Jesus says. We, as we grow old, we need to be of good cheer because we know that God has saved us if we've trusted Him as Savior. He saved us, and one day we're going to see Him face to face. How do we have peace in this world of turmoil? He is the God of peace, and He says, "Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Well, He encourages us by supplying our needs. In Psalm 37, 25, it says, "I have been young, and now I am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." Doesn't mean that the Christian's not going to have problems in this world. It simply means that God never forsakes His people. Philippians 4:19 says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." It's all through the Lord Jesus Christ. God also encourages us by providing salvation. James chapter 4 and verse 14 says, "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." It makes no difference how old we are. It is a short time compared to eternity. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, it says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." If you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, you need to do that. You need to ask Him to come into your heart. I don't care how young you are, how old you are. Jesus said, "You must come to me. When you come to me, I'll give you rest. I'll give you salvation. I'll give you eternal life." The Bible says it's by grace that we're saved. It's not of ourselves. It's not of works. But it's by the total gift, the free gift of Jesus Christ. We need God before life. We need God at life's beginning. We need God to know how to live life. We need God to grow in life. We also need God in our life as we grow old. When do we need God? We need Him now. We need Him all through life. Have you trusted Him as your Savior? If you have not trusted Him to save you, to give you eternal life, you need to say something like this to Him: "Lord, I trust You to save me. Come into my life. Come into my heart. I receive You the best I know how as my Savior." The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." If you ask Jesus to save you today, He'll save you. And as a Christian, are you living for Him? Are you trusting Him to take care of your life? If not, let Him take full control of your life and lead you and guide you. It's been good being with you today. And till the next time when you hear me say it's a good life, may the Lord bless you richly, is my prayer.